I'd like you to read with me in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6. Thus saith Jehovah, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Jehovah of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the coming things, and those that shall happen, let them declare unto them, fear not, neither be afraid. Have I not caused thee to hear from that time, and have declared it, and ye are my witnesses? Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no rock, I know not any. And over the page in chapter 45 and verse 14, thus saith Jehovah, the wealth of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine, they shall walk after thee in chains, they shall come over and they shall bow down unto thee, they shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, no other God. Book of the Acts, chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. Well-known verse, Acts 4, verse 12. And salvation is in none other. For neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. And then just one verse in Hebrews. Chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I just want to say something tonight about the exclusiveness of the gospel. Man likes to choose. We like options. They say variety is the spice of life, don't they? And people, you know, shop for a religion like that. I heard of someone who liked to look into things. So he looked into Christianity. And he looked into Buddhism, and he looked into Hinduism, and every other ism. But in the scriptures, which is God's word, we're not giving any options. In fact, I heard a gospel preaching fairly recently, not in our circle, I have to add, where the preacher basically said that I would encourage you to look into Christianity. Dear friend, tonight, I'm not asking you to look into the gospel. I'm asking you to hear it and respond to it. Sometimes, you know, the preaching of the glad tidings is offered as a choice. Sometimes I've heard, in fact, to be honest, I've heard from this desk about, Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. But really, that is a word to believers. In the gospel, dear friend, there is no choice. You know, there is a phrase that beggars cannot be choosers. Well, as a sinner, dear friend, you are a beggar. You're destitute. As a sinner, before a holy God, you're in debt. And you have nothing to pay. Beggars cannot be choosers, but dear friend, God in his wonderful mercy and his grace is offering salvation for you and for me. I was struck, you know, by reading Isaiah, especially if you read chapters 44 and 45, time and time again it says there is just one God. It's repeated quite a lot in those two chapters. And it says here, is there a God beside me? You know, right from the dawn of creation, there seemed to be, man was inventing gods for himself. By the time we get to the time of our Lord, the Roman Empire had many gods. Paul speaks about gods many and lords many. They even had an altar erected to the unknown God. Just in case you weren't sure about all the rest of them, there was one to the unknown God. Dear friend, tonight I'm preaching to you about a God, the God that you can know. Not an unknown God, but as the hymn says, our God whom we have known, well known in Jesus' love. And so tonight, that's where I start with the one true God. There is only one. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no rock. I know not any. No rock. In other words, what the prophet is saying is, if you dismiss God himself, there's no alternative. Oh yes, we like choices, don't we? You know, when I was a lad, I loved multiple choice exams, because at least you had a chance of getting it right. Man loves to choose. That's why the retail business does so well, because people love to choose, to flick through this and that. Dear friend, tonight, there is no option. You're presented with the truth. This word, this book, contains God's word, and it is the truth. And there's only one. You say, that sounds rather pompous and arrogant. Dear friend, tonight, God is saying to you, there's only myself. In the beginning, God. That's where this book starts, and that's where you need to start. In the beginning, God. My friend, that's who wants to deal with you tonight, God himself. The one who created the heavens and the earth. That one who's so holy, so majestic, so awesome. It's the one that wants to deal with you. Just think of that. And yet you're a sinner. You've rebelled against him. Disobedience. That's what the first sin was, you know, disobedience. And that's what we find in our own hearts. And yet God wants to bless you. He wants to heal the breach. I heard a preaching. Sorry, it sounds like I'm critical of all preachings, but that's not really the case. But I heard someone recently saying that God bridges the gap. No, he doesn't bridge the gap, dear friend. He takes it away. So there's no distance whatsoever. That's what God wants to do. He doesn't want to just bridge the difference. He wants to remove it entirely so that you can know God in a personal and intimate way, as the one who's loved you and sent his own beloved son to save you. So you've got to start with God. If you reject him, then there's no remedy. There's nothing else, dear friend. Just understand that tonight. That if you dismiss God, there is nothing else. That is what the prophet is saying. There is no rock. I know not any. What is the rock? Jesus is the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. And if you dispense with him, there's no alternative. There's no choice. There's nothing else left. Tonight, in God's wonderful grace, you have the opportunity of having to do with God. You, in your sins, in your misery, in your position of estrangedness from God, have that wonderful opportunity of dealing with him. And this is not a fairy tale. This is not something you imagine. This is real, dear friend. God wants to speak to you. He wants to have to do with you. I wonder where you are tonight. Are you wandering around, not knowing what to do? Trying to decide what to do with your life, trying to decide the best way. There is a way that seems right to a man. Many paths, many choices. Dear friend, God is saying, there's just me. And I've provided one Saviour. Not many, just the one. In the next chapter, the prophet says, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, no other God. In fact, there's various references. I didn't read, in fact, in the end of chapter 45, and I've quoted this before in another gospel, but it says in verse 21, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Couldn't be more clear, could it? If you were any doubt tonight, there's no doubt what the God is saying through the prophet, that there is no alternative. Dear friend, tonight, I would preach to you, I would seek to draw your attention rather to one man, and that is the rock of our salvation. And in chapter 44, he's saying, if you dismiss God, if you dismiss what I've provided, there is no rock. I know not any. And I can tell you tonight that if you dismiss Jesus from your thoughts, I know of no other Saviour. It's as simple as that, dear friend. There's nobody else. There's no saint or pope or good man or politician. There's nobody else that can deal with your situation. There's nobody else that can give you eternal life. There's nobody else that has come into this world and died, suffered and died, and shed his precious blood. There's nobody else, only Jesus. So, I read in Acts, I'd love to have been there, you know, when Peter was preaching. Think of this, all these godly Jews, or maybe some of them are not godly Jews. What a crowd. Peter, we know his history in the Gospels. He'd failed. He'd always putting his foot in it, wasn't he? And yet, what a preaching this was. What a preaching. And he says, he is the stone which has been set at naught. I was saying about those that dismiss God. Tonight, you know, what have you done with Jesus? That's the point. Yes, you say, well, that was 2,000 years ago and they dealt with him. Question for tonight is, what have you done with Jesus? It says they set him at naught. The stone which has been set at naught. Is that what you think of Jesus? It says in the prophet, cast away as worthless. What does he mean to you? Is Jesus just a good man, a prophet, a teacher? Or is he your Saviour? The one that God sent. Only one. No other Saviour. Can Buddha save you? Can Muhammad save you? Can the Pope save you? Only Jesus. One Saviour. They set him at naught. And then Peter says in this wonderful verse we know so well, and salvation is in none other. That's the heart of what I want to say to you tonight, dear friend. It's in none other. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to look. Only Jesus. Salvation is in none other. For neither is there another name under heaven how many names, how many famous people, how many have come and gone. Some the names we remember. You remember them at school. You know, when I left school, all my mates there, a teacher said to me, in 10 years' time, you won't really hardly remember two or three names out of the 30. And he was dead right. But the name of Jesus will never be forgotten. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus, God's beloved Son. There is no alternative. There's no other man I can present to you. Only Jesus. There's no other name under heaven which is given among men. It's wonderful, isn't it? Given among men. God gave Jesus to this poor world. That's the heart of God, you know. As I said, God wants to have to do with you. He wants to be reconciled to you. He wants to meet you. He wants to receive you. But he can only do so because the fact is he sent his beloved Son. Jesus, the one who came to this earth, suffered on the cross. We cannot preach the gospel without mentioning the cross. Because it's there that all my sins were dealt with. It's there that I'm reconciled to God. No cross, no gospel, no salvation. Dear friends, tonight, it's no other name given under heaven amongst men. How wonderful that is, that God is dealing with men. And that means he's dealing with you and me. It says, whereby we must be saved. It's imperative. God wants to save you tonight. That's his heart, dear friend, that he wants to save you. What a heart God we have to deal with, you know. Men, as away from God, they have no idea what God is like. And I, to be honest, neither would you, apart from the presentation of the gospel. And you have this opportunity of knowing what God is like. What is God like? Look at Jesus. God manifest in the flesh. He came into this world to be like one of us. An angel couldn't suffer and die. He had to be someone that could take on our liabilities. Therefore, God became a man. He blessed the wonder of the incarnation. He suffered and died on the cross. Wasn't his life that saved us? People look at the life of Jesus. How wonderful it was. No life like it. But that doesn't deal with the problem of my sin. It's the cross that deals with the problem of my sin. What we were speaking of in the reading, propitiation, it's a long word, isn't it? But it means that God is satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus made. God is appeased. Because God is holy and he demands a sacrifice. He demands a payment for debt. And I said at the beginning, as sinners, we are in debt. But the good news of the gospel is that there is someone who's paid the debt. Took on our liabilities so that we can go free. I love that story that Jesus told, you know, the two debtors. There was a little debtor and there was a big debtor. I don't know which you are tonight, but it doesn't matter because you're still a debtor. But wonderful thing is that God forgave them freely. He forgave them both, the big one and the little one. And God tonight, doesn't matter how many sins you've committed, dear friend, God can freely forgive them all. But only because he can look at the blood of his dear son. And because of that blood that was shed, he can God is satisfied. The punishment has been borne. One of our hymns says, my guilt was borne by Jesus. Can each of us say that tonight, that my guilt was borne by Jesus when he suffered on the tree? No other name, dear friend. Only Jesus. I just read in Hebrews, looking on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith. And I know that notes are not scripture, but the note to that just sums up what I want to say. If you look at note D, and I struggle with this Bible, looking away from other things and fixing the eye exclusively on one. The exclusiveness of the gospel. There is no other alternative, dear friend, tonight. Only Jesus. And where are you looking for your salvation? Do you want to be saved? The very fact you're here tonight suggests that you do. You know, men in their pleasure and their sin and their arrogance think they're okay. And yet, in their heart of hearts, they know they're not. How many hearts out there are out there tonight who really, honestly, are dissatisfied and afraid, and they realise that they're not living as they should be, because there's something in them that really needs to respond to God. Someone said, didn't they? Was it Augustine or one of them, those early ones, that there is something in the heart that only God can satisfy. You might be craving for this. Men crave for power and wealth. They fill their lives with things and drink and drugs, and it never satisfies. But there is something in the heart that only God can fill, only Christ can fill. The one that's met Jesus and had to do with him and becomes the Saviour, you realise that he is the one that can fill the heart. Only one. Exclusively. No other options, dear friend, I offer you, but the Saviour that God has provided. Come to him tonight, put your trust in him, and you will find you have peace and joy in believing. What an offer that is. Peace and joy in believing. You won't find that in anywhere else in the world. You can hunt for it all you like. You can go to the ends of the earth. You can spend all your fortune. You'll never find it. But tonight you can find peace and joy in believing in this one remedy that God is offering in the glad tidings. May you seize it tonight, before it's too late. For his name's sake. Amen. Amen.